I'm out in the garden in Budapest in the temple. If you're hearing the dogs in the background, nothing compared to the dogs in Vrindavan. And it's a very beautiful spring day, sun shining, and there's a really nice fragrance of, I don't know what it's called in English, Orgona. Organza, is blossoming, more than blossoming, it's already in full bloom, and it's wonderfully peaceful here, at least by comparison to what I've been experiencing in Vrindavan over the last 2 months. I'd already mentioned that there was quite a new experience for me to see Vrindavan the way it is. I've been, as you know, for the past, I think, 4 years, I spent all my time in Govardhan, which is still relatively secluded, particularly our Govardhan ashram over there. And I hadn't seen all the development that's taking place in Vrindavan. I just stayed through for a night and then continued on. But anyway, every day I go for a walk, and usually I go either on Parikramarg or I go towards and past the village of Sunrak, which is a road that goes actually parallel to Bhaktivedanta Swami Marg, but in the fields, and going through some very nice agricultural fields. This beautiful big banyan tree just by a ruin of a huge big kund where Krishna used to graze his cows, and it comes up on the backside of Chatikar. But that road towards Sunrak, it's really become sort of a stool field. Everyone comes and along the side of the road, and it's become really heavily trafficked, particularly over there. Lots and lots of tractors zooming back and forth. Whereas everyone had bullocks, now everyone's got tractors. And the Parikramarg, that's really become like the North Circular, M25, or the Ring Road. Everyone who wants to get into town, because you can go all the way up to Keshagat. Thank goodness Keshagat stops it from being completely accessible to traffic, otherwise they'd be even worse than it is now. But it's just non-stop traffic, motorcycles, tractors, water lorries, delivery trucks, and even buses, cars. So compared to what I remember, what it used to be like years back, where you just walk on a nice sandy path under the shade of trees with no houses. When I did Parikrama, the whole place is built up except for a little stretch that's on either side, in either direction of the corner where Vyasadeva's Bhajan Kutir is. It's being built up. There's just people living on the side of the road, so-called ashrams and temples. And of course, along with the traffic comes a phenomenal amount of noise and dirt and garbage, and ultimately it became really impossible for me to go out and have a peaceful japa walk. So I ended up really staying inside in the house, and I had my drop box on the roof. And it was disheartening, considering that Raghunath Das Babaji left Vrindavan already 100 years ago. I wonder what he would think of it now, had he seen it. And of course, it's not just the Parikramarg, but everywhere, hotels and guest houses and tourist bungalows and condominiums are coming up. It's a phenomenal, becoming a real tourist draw, the land of Krishna. Although they're driving Krishna out, but they're using Krishna as a commodity for making money. Golf courses in Govardhan being advertised. It's a dhamaparad. It's an offense to the dham to try to make money off of it. To do real estate and things like that. What to speak of, exploit it and keep it dirty in the way that it is now. Dham should be a impetus for us to remember Krishna, not that people should be making obstructions for at least sincere sadhus who come there to chant and hear so that they can remember Krishna's pastimes. I remember that Srila Prabhupada was very disappointed with India for two reasons. One is that they Indian intelligentsia wouldn't give him any support in the beginning, so that he got followers when he came to America. And the other is that when he finally brought American devotees to India, then they accused him of being CIA and the Indian parliament and government gave Srila Prabhupada such a hard time that even when Prabhupada was on his deathbed, he was praising the Americans and America for helping him and criticizing India. He was saying, actually, I have an inclination to leave this place. And Srila Prabhupada was a Brijbasi, lived in Vrindavan for 6-7 years non-stop. And the changes that I've experienced over the last 35 years and what Srila Prabhupada would have seen since 1959, that's 50 years ago, Srila Prabhupada would have also taken exception to this and complained and criticized. Of course, the dam is the dam, but the dam is the dam for people who are transcendentally endowed, who can see through everything else. But devotees who aren't so particularly advanced, what they see now when they come to Vrindavan, and unfortunately Govardhan is like that. I've heard that Barshana is starting to develop. It isn't conducive for their bhajan or for their appreciating the dham, but rather it makes for critical mentality, offensive mentality. Anyway, having said that, I guess it's enough. I shouldn't say any more, because ultimately it is the dam, but still, it was a experience that could have been more enhanced, let's put it that way. Today is, amongst other things, appearance day of Madhavendra Puri, who in Chaitanya Charitamrita is being mentioned as the root of the tree of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's transcendental family and associates. And in Gaugana Deshtapika, he's identified as Kalpavriksha tree from Vrindavan, from the spiritual world. Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur points out that a few things. First of all, that that Shiva Goswami who does the other, but he says that in Vrindavan, and now he's talking about the Boma Vrindavan in the world, he says there's only one Kalpavriksha tree. And he says, and all of the other trees, they become desire trees by association with that one tree, just like it's described in a sandalwood forest. Actually, there only needs to be one sandalwood tree, and by its aroma, all the others take on the qualities of sandalwood. Similarly, he says that there's one desire tree in Vrindavan, and all others have become desire trees by association. Then the other point is that Jiva Goswami answers this question, that is desire tree a particular species of tree, or do all trees become desire trees? So he says that actually, first he says, no, they're not a species, any tree. Desire trees can be of any type, apple tree can be a desire tree, and so on. But then he says, but there are also specific trees that are of the species of desire tree. And then again, going back to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he says that the foremost of desire trees is the desire tree in the yoga pit. That tree that we read about in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Devya Vrindaranya Kalpa Dumada Shimadrat Nagara Shinghasanasto Shri Shri Radha Shila Govinda Devo Pishtalabhi Sevamano Smaramani, that place in Vrindavan, which is the yoga pit, which is called Govinda Stali, where Radha and Krishna are sitting on a jeweled throne underneath a tree, that desire tree that is considered to be the king of desire trees. But I can't make the correlation that that's Madhavendra Puri, because I have not heard, but it is a fact that Madhavendra Puri is a desire tree from the spiritual world. And therefore on this day we should remember how he is actually the root of the Madhurya Ras, which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu presented, and the Goswamis elaborated on further. And we should at least offer obeisances. When we hear of the appearance days of these personalities, we should offer our pranams, we should offer obeisances to them. Remembrance should invoke some sort of mood. At least it should invoke a mood of obligation or respect, but beyond that, if it can invoke a mood of remembrance of that personality and recalling their pastimes, qualities, nature, which then invokes a certain spirit of affection, then that's even better. Anyway, that's it for today. Tomorrow, it looks like I'm still here, and we'll be in touch. Hare Krishna.